Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 21 of season 5 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Today, we bring you two episodes from that great old radio comedy sitcom, Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. The first is the episode Broken Furnace, originally broadcast on January 9th, 1949. The second is Student Banking, originally broadcast on January 30th, 1949. Sit back and enjoy.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, enjoyed her vacation during the holidays just as much as any other teacher. But as it drew to a close, she had a peculiar reaction.
Although I felt that my vacation had done me a lot of good, now that it was over, I was keyed up and enthusiastic, simply raring to go. Raring to go on another 2 weeks' vacation. Meanwhile, I went about the business of getting used to working again and spent the past week noticing conditions which hadn't seemed so deplorable during the hustle and bustle of holiday time at the school. I was telling my landlady, Mrs. Davis, about them while we were having breakfast Friday morning.
Let me pour you a cup of this coffee, Connie. It's Rio de Janeiro style. I just got the recipe.
Rio de Janeiro style?
Yes. I mashed up a few Brazil nuts and mixed them with the coffee ground. That's one reason why the blonde hair of a Brazilian is so outstanding.
But Mrs. Davis, very few Brazilians have blonde hair.
That's another reason it's so outstanding. But I'm afraid I've interrupted something you started to say to me, Connie.
Oh, it wasn't very important. I had just said that
I really shouldn't do that. It's a habit I picked up from my brother, Victor. He's terribly absent-minded.
I thought your sister Angela was the absent-minded one in the family.
Angela?
Yes, that's what you told me.
What did I tell you?
That she was very absent-minded.
Who?
Your brother, Victor.
Now, how did you know that? You never even met Victor. But he is confused sometimes, poor dear. Why, you could be talking about something to Victor and he'd seem as interested as could be in the conversation. But then if you just looked away for a moment, he could be right in the middle of a sentence that...
Yes, Mrs. Davis? Mrs. Davis? Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Davis!
Oh, good morning, Connie. I was just looking for the cat out in the kitchen. She hadn't touched her milk.
What do you hear from Victor?
Victor? Oh, my brother. Oh, he's fine, thank you, dear. He calls me quite regularly. My sister Angela's the one that worries me. She's the absent-minded member of the family. But I keep feeling that I disrupted your train of thought. Did I, Connie?
There's not a car left on the tracks but the caboose. I was merely telling you, Mrs. Davis, that I never realized how bad conditions were at school until this cold spell set in. Why, my classroom is so drafty that half my pupils can't answer questions because their teeth are chattering.
That must be awful. Young people have such loud teeth.
Yes, sometimes my room sounds like a dice game on a tin roof.
Have you talked to the principal about it?
Not yet, but I'm going to today. He's just got to get the Board of Education to allot us a bigger budget for coal.
Well, I wish you luck, dear. Is Walter Denton picking you up this morning?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, good. Connie, I'd like to apologize again for interrupting you before. As I say, I've been a little worried about my eccentric brother, Victor. Before you go, though...
Yes?
Goodbye, Connie.
Goodbye, Mrs. Davis. And by the way, Mrs. Davis...
Yes, Connie. Yes, Connie, Why, she's gone. Poor thing. She's been under a terrible strain lately.
I'm glad you picked me up early, Walter. I've got to stop in and see Mr. Conklin before my first class.
Oh, golly, Miss Brooks, there must be some pleasanter way to start off a Friday morning for a perfectly nice English teacher.
Yes, there must be.
Oh, it isn't that I don't respect Mr. Conklin. It's just that, well, there's something about you, Miss Brooks, that, well, before the hallowed walls of our beloved Madison High heaves into view, I want you to know that...
Just a minute, Walter. Would you mind taking that sentence again a little slower?
I merely exclaimed, before the hallowed walls of our beloved Madison High heaves into view.
That's what I thought you exclaimed.
Anything wrong, Miss Brooks?
Well, frankly, Walter, I'd hesitate to correct that sentence without stopping at teacher's college for a refresher course. But what do you mean by heaves into view?
Well, every so often you read about a ship that hove into view, don't you?
Yes.
Well, hove must be the past tense, mustn't it? Heave, haved, hove, isn't it?
Oh, of course not, Walter. Heave, heaved, haved, heave, haved. What do you want me to know before Madison High heaves into view?
That you command as much respect as Mr. Conklin, plus the admiration of the entire student body, and that your personal warmth and charm is only exceeded by your excellence in your chosen field of instruction.
Ain't it the truth? I don't want to seem unduly inquisitive, Walter, but to what do I owe this verbal plaque?
Nothing. It's just a natural reaction, a completely spontaneous and unrehearsed.
And what did you get from our sponsor when you were selected as a contestant?
A pen and pencil set that's guaranteed... Oh, no, that's not fair. No, I'm being completely sincere and have no ulterior motive whatsoever.
Then thank you, Walter.
Oh, that's okay. Miss Brooks?
Yes?
Would you do me a favor?
If I say no, you'll take back the plaque. Hmm? Well, what is it?
Well, it's the basketball team. As you know, I'm the new manager, so it's up to me to see Mr. Conklin about getting some things that we need immediately.
And?
And it's up to you to see Mr. Conklin for me, because I'm rarely up to seeing Mr. Conklin. What I mean is that we've just got to get some more trunks.
Where are you going?
Oh, we're not going anywhere. No, we need stuff for the guys to put on while they're playing. You see, right now, every time we send in a substitute, he has to take a blanket along with him and change trunks with a fella he's replacing. About 10 pairs should do fine.
10 pairs? Why don't you just get a larger blanket?
Oh, no, this is serious, Miss Brooks. Oh, another thing you've got to talk to Mr. Conklin about for me is the temperature in the gym. It's so cold in there, a good humor man has to referee the game. Of course, I'm exaggerating, Miss Brooks.
I know, Walter, but A, just what do you want me to ask Mr. Conklin? And B, why should it be me instead of you?
Well, A, to requisition $100 worth of equipment for the basketball team from the school board. And B, because you're older and carry more weight.
And C, if we were driving in my car, you'd be walking by now.
No, you don't understand, Miss Brooks. I'm not trying to shirk my duties, but this is a legitimate beef. Let me put it this way. In the stockyards, when they want the sheep to run a certain way, they don't send a little lamb out to guide them. They send an old goat. You've seen it in the newsreels, I'm sure, where the goat and the... Gosh, I hope you're not mad, Miss Brooks.
Oh, forget it, Walter. Why should I be mad?
Then you'll do it? You'll ask Mr. Conklin for me?
I'll do my best. Now, you'd better start putting on your brakes.
My brakes?
Yes, the hallowed walls are hiving into view.
Ladies, regardless of age, skin type, or previous beauty care, doctors prove you, too, may win a lovelier complexion with Palmolive soap.
But to win this lovelier complexion, the kind men admire and women envy, you must stop improper cleansing. Instead, use Palmolive soap the way doctors advised.
Remember, 36 doctors, leading skin specialists, advised 1,285 women, many with complexion problems, to use Palmolive this way. Some have dry skin, some oily, some coarse-looking. Using Palmolive soap alone, 2 out of 3 won lovelier complexion. Now, here's what the doctors advise.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap. Massaging for 1 minute with Palmolive soft lather. This cleansing massage brings your skin Palmolive's full, beautifying effect. Rinse. Do this 3 times a day for 14 days.
It's that simple. But doctors have proved this way, using nothing but Palmolive, really works. So forget other beauty care. Use Palmolive soap alone for a lovelier complexion.
For loveliness all over, use big, thrifty bath size Palmolive in your tub or shower.
Well, here we are at school, Miss Brooks. If you will kindly disembark, I'll find a place to park and then return for a joust with the forces of education.
If I was a gambler, Walter, I'd bet on you to place. Oh, there's Harriet Conklin. I think I'll ask her what kind of a mood her father's in.
Okay, Miss Brooks. I'll see you later.
Just a minute, Harriet. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. I'm glad we ran into each other.
Same here. Harriet, did you have breakfast with your father this morning?
Well, yes, I did.
How was he? His temper, I mean.
Pretty good, Miss Brooks. Until Mother showed him some of the bills that had come in.
Then what did he do?
Nothing unusual. He just slammed down his paper, bit through his coffee cup, and left. It could have been worse.
Sure, he could have bitten your mother.
That's one of the reasons I'm glad we ran into each other. Miss Brooks, did I ever tell you what an unending source of inspiration you are?
Oh, I must end somewhere.
I mean it, Miss Brooks. You're more than just an excellent instructor of English.
I'm the patsy who's going to face your father with one of your problems.
All this in psychic, too. How did you know I wanted you to talk to Daddy for me, Miss Brooks?
Well, why should you be an exception, Harriet? What's your beef? Complaint.
The domestic science room. It's like a deep freeze.
That room, too?
It's so cold that most of us wear gloves all during the class. Makes it very awkward, Miss Brooks. Especially when we're trying to use the sewing machine.
Sounds pretty bad.
Bad? It's terrible. Yesterday, Bessie Snyder sewed 5 of her fingers together.
Well, what's so terrible about that? Gives you an extra ladle for the cooking class.
It broke the sewing machine, and we need $200 for a new one.
Oh, but Harriet...
Miss Brooks, it's up to you to make conditions in this school livable.
For you, you mean? I'd better be armed with plenty of facts before I face your father, though. I think I'll make a survey of the rest of the rooms.
Starting with Mr. Boynton's biology laboratory?
Now who's psychic? Yes, Harriet, I think I'll interview the shy master of the microbes.
I've been in there, Miss Brooks. It's even colder than the other rooms. I hope you can do something about it.
I should be able to, with the experience I've had.
Well, what do you mean, Miss Brooks?
I've been trying to thaw Mr. Boynton out for years.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, it's you, Miss Brooks. How do you feel this morning?
Cold, thanks, especially in here. Where do you hang your sides of beef, Mr. Boynton?
Oh, it... This kind of silly at that. I was going to ask Mr. Conklin about the heating situation, but now that you're here, I wonder if you would,
Naturally.
You better slip this coat on. Even your voice is shivery.
No, this outfit I'm wearing is fairly warm. I've got 4 sweaters on, you know.
Really? Where?
Let's not get racy, Mr. Barney.
Sorry, Miss Brooks. I didn't mean anything personal.
You never do.
The situation is pretty bad. Now, take my prize frog, McDougal, for instance. He's had a sore throat for weeks. Now, with this cold spell, I'm afraid he's developing sinus trouble. Oh, here's his cage right here.
Hello, Mac. How do you feel? Gesundheit. Have a Kleenex, Mac. You're welcome.
It's no wonder he's sick. Look at the tank he's in. No provisions for heating or water at all. This morning, his breakfast was frozen 2 inches from his nose. By the time he did eat, he had indigestion.
That's really awful, Mr. Boynton. This equipment is pretty obsolete. What's this bowl here? Oh, these must be some new fish. What's the name of these pretty blue ones, Mr. Boynton?
Goldfish. They're just cold.
They could slap their fins together. Oh, look at these cute little guinea pigs. Now, they're what I call sensible animals. Look how they huddle together for warmth in their cage. You know, Mr. Boynton, you and I could keep kind of warm that way, too.
Oh, no, we couldn't, Miss Brooks. We could never fit into a cage that size.
Well, no, but it would be fun trying to. Look, Mr. Boynton, about what do you estimate it would cost for new equipment for this lab?
Oh, a couple of $100, roughly. $150 if you smooth it out. That's a sort of a joke, Miss Brooks. First I said roughly, and then $150 if you smooth it out.
Oh. That's a Lulu.
I know another one, but I wish you'd stop me if you've heard it. It's about this group of people...
I've heard it.
You have? The one about the group of people who are all discussing something in a very animated manner, and suddenly they stop, and this one fellow says, "Is anybody eating a lifesaver?" And somebody else says, "Why?" And the first chap says, "Because there's a hole in the conversation." Is that the one you've heard?
No, I heard a different one. Tell yours.
Well, it's about... I just did tell it, Miss Brooks.
Oh, so you did, Mr. Boynton. And a little beauty it was, too. But I better get ready for my first class now. I'll see Mr. Conklin at the beginning of lunch period.
Well, it's awfully nice of you to do this, Miss Brooks. Will you have lunch with me afterwards?
Oh, I'd love to, Mr. Boynton.
And, Miss Brooks, please don't even bring your purse with you. It only embarrasses me when you try to pay your own check in the cafeteria.
All right, Mr. Boynton. I'll leave my bag in my desk.
Fine. When I see you to your room, I can pick up what you owe me.
A good one, too. What am I laughing at? He's not kidding. Let's see this list now. Weather stripping for my room, $50. Basketball team equipment, $100. New sewing machine, about $200. And biology lab equipment, $150. Total $500. Of course, that's without the additional coal we'll have to get. Well, here goes.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Conklin. I just wanted to
sit down a moment, Miss Brooks. I'm speaking on the phone.
Yes, sir.
So you see, Miss Stanhope, this senseless extravagance has got to stop. Why, do you realize that your art class used up 3 more drawing pencils this month than last? What do you think the school board is made of, money? What? How can you cut down? Tell the students not to sharpen them so often. And remember, Miss Stanhope, it isn't the 50 cents involved that's important. It's the money. Get on the ball and let's start cutting down expenses around here. Good day. Now, what do you want?
Happy New Year, Mr. Conklin. I mean, I just happened to be passing your office and I thought I'd stop in and say hello.
Hello. Now, if you'll excuse me, I was just going to lunch.
But, Mr. Conklin, you don't want to go up to that drafty cafeteria.
What do you mean, drafty?
Oh, it is. It's almost as bad as the schoolrooms.
What?
And the gym and the biology laboratory and the domestic science room, in which your own daughter Harriet is at this very moment shivering and shaking while she sews her gloved fingers together on the sewing machine which Bessie Snyder broke. There, I said it, and I'm glad.
If you're angling for another vacation, Miss Brooks, the answer is no. Now compose yourself and talk like a rational human being.
Well, it's like this, Mr. Conklin. If we could get a larger appropriation from the school...
A larger appropriation? Miss Brooks, let me tell you what I was planning when you so fortuitously entered my office. I was planning on a general revision of expenses, an economy wave the likes of which this school has never seen. For example, you will in the future direct your pupils to use half as much chalk.
You mean no more capital letters?
Exactly. And this building, it's kept like a hothouse. I intend to cut way down on the supply of coal we're wasting.
Wasting? But...
Don't butt me, young woman.
Oh, I can't help it. I'm the goat that was picked for the job. That is, it's not a question of a lot of money, Mr. Conklin. And the temperature of the school is very important.
It certainly is. And I find it extremely comfortable for the most part. But you, why are you wearing your overcoat?
It's just a silly quirk of mine, Mr. Conklin. I'm trying to break up an ice jam in my arteries.
Oh, nonsense. And take off those gloves. And I wish you'd stop smoking while you're talking to me.
I'm not smoking. I'm just breathing.
Well, cut it out. That's the trouble with people nowadays. They're all mollycoddle, softies. Why, when I think of our forefathers at Valley Forge, dragging cannons through the snow with their feet wrapped in rags, it's enough to make my blood boil.
Well, it wouldn't boil in my room. Look, Mr. Conklin, if you don't care about people, think of the poor little animals in Mr. Boynton's laboratory.
What's wrong with them?
The white mice can't run around on the treadmill without snowshoes. And McDougal doesn't know whether to croak, sneeze, or hiccup. So he does all three, and it's pretty depressing.
Well, then don't listen to it.
And how about the basketball team? Walter Denton says that every time one of his substitutes goes into a game, he has to hide behind a trunk while they're changing blankets. And just think, $100 would remedy the entire situation.
$100?
Plus $200 for a new sewing machine, $50 for weather stripping my room, and $150 for warmer tanks and better equipment in the biology lab. $500 is all you have to requisition from the board, plus some added money for coal. And if you'll sharpen the sword, I'll fall on it on my way out.
Miss Brooks, I'm going to try to control myself. I'm going to walk over to that window and look out of it. A moment later, I'm going to turn around, and you will have gone quietly out of the door. Ah, that's better. $500 indeed.
Plus coal.
Get out!
The cafeteria was pretty crowded today. Young Denton here invited us to share his table.
Sure, sit down, Miss Brooks. Want me to get you a tray?
Thanks, Walter, but I haven't time to eat right now. I've just left Mr. Conklin's office, and he's flatly refused to requisition a penny from the school board.
But the temperature, my animals, McDougal's toes are frostbitten now.
And how about my basketball team? We got a very important home game on tomorrow night, and that gym is just icy. Oh, we got to do something, Miss Brooks. We just got to get some more coal into this building.
Well, maybe we could start an airlift. No, I guess not. Wait a minute. The only way to make Mr. Conklin see the necessity of improving the coal situation is to pretend we're all coming down with colds.
You mean go into his office sneezing and coughing and all?
Exactly. He won't dare face a school board investigation if he thinks an epidemic is starting. Besides, I happen to know he's quite a hypochondriac when it comes to contagious germs.
But if we really don't have colds, it'd be lying to say we have, wouldn't it?
It's a white lie for the common good, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, but you know what happens to me when I tell a falsehood. I have a psychosomatic symptom that causes me to hiccup.
Well, we'll have to take that chance. Think of McDougal, Mr. Boynton, and those blue goldfish swimming around depending on you to do something.
I'll do it, Miss Brooks. I'll be darned if I don't. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, forget it, Mr. Boynton. In a crisis like this, even I resort to profanity. Oh, fudge.
Come in.
Mr. Conklin, I got a bad cold.
What?
It's in my nose and head, mostly.
Turn around, Boynton. Don't you know those germs travel? How long have you had this cold?
Oh, for a long time. Achoo!
You caught something from that wretched frog of yours. Now, go take some aspirin, go home early, do something, but get out of this office at once.
But, Mr. Cockliffe, my laboratory was a little bit warm.
I'll talk to you after you've recovered, Boynton.
Fine, Mr. Cockliffe. Thank you, sir.
Better open the window and clear the air in this room. That's better. Come in.
It's me, Mr. Cockliffe. Water deaded.
What do you want, Denton?
As manager of the basketball team, I'd like to request a warmer gym.
A what?
A warmer gym to play in. It's freezing in there. I got a cold.
You too? Well, cover your face when you sneeze.
We got a very important game to play tomorrow, and we need some heat badly.
Heat. Well, if you've got such a bad cold, Denton, you'd better not come around to the game tomorrow.
What?
I'll be there, and I'll appoint another manager.
But I'm not that sick, Mr. Conklin. Gosh, I feel great.
I mean...
I think I know what you mean, Denton. This is all a scheme to get me to ask the board for more money. And I think I know who put you up to it, too.
She did not. Oh, that is...
Come in, Miss Brooks.
How did you know it was me, Mr. Conklin?
I heard you rehearsing your sneeze.
Gee, you look great, Miss Brooks. Never saw you looking better.
Thank you, Walter.
You couldn't possibly have a cold or anything the way you look. Know what I mean?
Keep talking, Denton. I don't mind.
Why, what's the matter with you, Walter? I have a terrible cold in my chest and my head. It's from my room, Mr. Coughlin.
Mr. Coughlin, if that is the scream, you sure do a funny imitation of a person with a cold, Miss Brooks.
What do you be, imitation?
Sure. Everybody knows you're just fooling.
Among my own pupils, a stool pigeon.
I knew this was all a plot, Miss Brooks, and I'm ashamed of you. Why, just because there's a little fresh air circulating through the school. Good fresh air. You throw a fit. Our forefathers should see you now. Those men at Valley Forge dragging the cannon through the snow with rags tied around their feet. Why, when I think of those...
Oh. The door was open, so I just came on in, Daddy.
What is it, Harriet?
I talked to Mother on the phone a little while ago, and her back's bothering her a bit. She'd like the heating pad.
What heating pad?
The one you've got under the cushion you're sitting on. Here's the plug back here. Now, if you'll just get up a minute. There we are. I'll take it home to Mother right away.
Where in the world did that thing come from?
From Valley Forge, of course. The boys must have got some hot rags for their feet. Well, Mr. Conklin recommended the necessary expenditures to the school board and personally ordered some coal immediately. I thought it was a very sportsmanlike and unselfish gesture, and I started to tell him so when I met him in the hall. Mr. Conklin, I think it was very nice of you to tackle this problem so promptly.
Thanks, Miss Brooks. But I wasn't prompt enough. I'm getting to bode you.
Oh, what's the difference, Mr. Conklin? As long as you've got your health.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Our Miss Brooks teaches English at Madison High School, and what with the overcrowded classrooms and a rather rigorous schedule, has had a pretty busy time during the past semester.
But not busy enough, evidently, to suit Mr. Osgood Conklin, Madison's beloved warden, a principal. Just recently, Mr. Conklin organized a school banking system. And who do you think was selected for the honor of handling this noble project at no increase in salary? Well, it wasn't Barney Baruch. I've had to take care of all the records single-handed. Oh, I'm not complaining. I think it's admirable for people to be saving and frugal, especially if you've got something to frug, a save. But I didn't count on the complications that set in last week. It seems that after school Thursday, I had $25 of the students' money in an envelope, which I placed on the dresser in my room at Mrs. Davis's. I intended to deposit it Friday morning and had asked Mrs. Davis to wake me at the usual time. I was sleeping very heavily when she knocked on my door.
Connie? Oh, Connie? Connie, are you in there?
No, I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Come on now, Connie. You've got to get up.
Why?
To go to school.
I graduated from school a long time ago. Well, not such a long time ago.
Before you do anything else, dear, I want you to see the surprise I've got for you here in this box.
In this box?
Go on, open it, honey.
Well, I don't understand, Mrs. Davis. It isn't my birthday or anything. Why, it's a dress. Oh, you shouldn't have done it, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, sure I should have.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes, I should. I bought it with practically found money.
Found money?
Yes, I found it on your dresser yesterday. I knew that you'd left it for me to cover the back rent you owe. But frankly, Connie, I didn't expect it so soon and so...
Mrs. Davis.
Yes, Connie.
You shouldn't have done it.
But why not? Don't you like the dress, Connie?
Sure I like the dress. I love the dress. But will the district attorney care for it?
What district attorney?
Well, don't you see, Mrs. Davis, that wasn't my money. I was going to deposit that for the students. And today also happens to be the day Mr. Conklin inspects my bank records.
That is a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, the happiest coincidence since Frankenstein met the Wolfman. Look, I know you meant well, and I hate to hurt your feelings, but really...
Oh, you won't hurt my feelings, Connie. I'm a lot like my sister Angela that way. She just refuses to harbor bad thoughts.
That's very nice, Mrs. Davis, but from what you've told me about Angela... Sometimes she doesn't harbor any thoughts at all.
Yes, she is terribly absent-minded, poor dear. But sometimes that's for the best.
What's for the best?
What's for the best for who?
If you'll punch my transfer, I'd like to get off here. You see, Mrs. Davis, I've got a big problem today. That money that paid for that dress didn't belong to me.
It didn't?
I've already told you, Mrs. Davis, it was part of the student's savings.
Oh, Connie, then you shouldn't have done it.
But I didn't do it, you did it.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Oh, this is terrible. Let's see that box again. Oh, you got the dress at Sherry's department store. Maybe they'll take it back and refund the money.
You see, Connie, I thought you left the money for the back rent you owe. And so
I know you did, Mrs. Davis, and I appreciate the thought more than I can tell you. But if you'll excuse me, I've got to get ready now. Walter Denton's picking me up in a few minutes.
Oh, did you have another accident with your car, Connie?
Just a slight collision with a new Hudson, Mrs. Davis.
What happened?
Well, you know the ad they have? Hudson, the car you stepped down into?
Yes.
Well, this one I drove down into. You know how to get to Sherry's department store, Walter? I've got to stop there for a minute.
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks. I'll get you there in no time. By the way, how do you like the car today?
The car? Oh, it looks fine, Walter.
I polished all four fenders the other day.
Well, I'm sure that'll improve the appearance of... What fenders? You haven't got any fenders on the car at all.
Oh, of course not. They're home in my garage. I only put them on weekends.
Weekends?
Well, sure. Even people don't dress up every day in the week.
I see. No sense in hitting a sloppy pedestrian with a natty car.
Exactly. You know, human beings are a lot like cars if they only stop to think about it. Take yourself, for instance. The way you look this morning...
I know. Stanley Steamer.
I'm only trying to be helpful, Miss Brooks. You look a little worried about something. Is there anything I can do?
Nothing I can think of offhand, Walter. Just keep it under your hat.
You keep what under my hat?
The information you're going to worm out of me by the time we get to Sherry's.
Oh. Well, what is the information?
It's about the school banking system.
Oh, that. I know that's a big pain in the neck to you, but that's nothing to get depressed about. Gosh, did you see the papers this morning?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Well, you ought to read the story in the bulletin. Oh, that'd cheer you up. It's all about a woman embezzler who was caught stealing $19,000 from the Federal Trust Company. And they just gave her 10 years in the clink.
I feel better already.
Well, she didn't even get a chance to spend any of the dough she embezzled. I guess honesty's the best policy after all.
Wish I'd taken out a policy like that.
And right in the same paper is another story that'd make you glad just to be working at school, Miss Brooks. It's about conditions in the state reformatory for women.
No good, huh?
Deplorable. Oh, they make the poor inmates mop the floors all day long. And if they haven't got any mops, which they usually don't have because they're so short of everything, why, then the women have to mop the floors with their hands.
How awful. Oh, here's the store, Walter. Drive up in the back, will you? That's the quickest way to get to the basement.
Basement?
Certainly. That's where they keep the mops, isn't it? Let's see now. Adjustment office. This must be it. I beg your pardon.
Come in. You're my very first adjustment today. Sit down, won't you, Miss...
Brooks, Constance Brooks.
How do you do, Miss Brooks? I'm Mr. Pearson. Would you like a cigarette?
No, thanks. I'm in kind
of a... A cup of coffee?
No, I've got to get to school pretty quickly.
Good for you. There's nothing I like better than a nice, punctual pupil.
This interview may not be as unpleasant as I anticipated. I'm not a pupil, Mr. Pearson. I'm a teacher at Madison High. But the reason I dropped in here is to return a dress someone bought for me.
Well, you know the motto of Sherry's, don't you? If you're not satisfied, we cheerfully refund your money.
That's what I've heard.
And that's what we do. Now then, about this dress. You don't like it?
Yes, I do. I like it very much.
But it doesn't fit quite properly.
Well, I can't be certain about that, because frankly, I didn't
The color. Oh, you don't like the color.
I think the color is peachy.
I see. And so it clashes with your complexion.
You don't understand. I just can't keep the dress. I've got to get the money back.
Well, that's what we're here for. In Sherry's, your money is cheerfully refunded.
She'd stop being cheerful and start refunding.
And now then, first of all, we must have a valid basis for adjustment. Tell me, how did you find out that the material in this garment is inferior?
Inferior? I didn't find
the
out
The sales it... lady told you, didn't she? Miss Morgan.
Miss Morgan?
So, you know her. Well, there's no sense trying to shield her, Miss Brooks. I knew there was a leak somewhere. We'll have a loyalty check in the morning.
Look, somebody bought me this dress with money that... Well, it shouldn't have been spent.
Why not, Miss Brooks? Don't answer that. I know. It was counterfeit money. Young woman, I'm surprised at you. Surprised and shocked.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Pearson. There was nothing wrong with the money Mrs. Davis paid for this dress.
So, Mrs. Davis paid for the dress. Miss Brooks, what are you doing with Mrs. Davis's dress under your arm?
I know.
You couldn't afford the dress yourself, but you needed money. So when you saw it lying there on Mrs. Davis's bed, you couldn't resist the temptation. You picked it up and brought it here for a refund. Oh, you poor misguided creature.
This guy really runs the gamut. Listen, Mr. Pearson, Mrs. Davis is my landlady. She bought me a dress for a present in this store yesterday.
Well, why didn't you say so, Miss Brooks? You see, yesterday we had our final clearance sale of ladies' dresses. And, of course, in a closeout of that sort, there can never be any refund.
What?
But remember, anything else you buy can be returned within 60 days, and Sherry's will cheerfully refund your money.
Well, that's just dandy. And the next time you have a sale, be sure and get in touch with me.
Yeah, I'll be glad to. Where can we reach you?
Just drop into any post office. You'll find my number under my picture.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith.
Ladies, what's your complexion problem?
My skin's so dingy.
Mine's oily.
My skin's dull, coarse-looking.
Doctors have proved that many complexion problems respond wonderfully to proper cleansing with Palmolive soap, regardless of age, skin type, or previous beauty care. Oily skin looks less oily. Dull, drab skin fresher and brighter. Coarse-looking skin appears finer. Even tiny blemishes, incipient blackheads disappear or improve. To win such complexion improvements, simply use Palmolive soap. Nothing but Palmolive, the way doctors advise.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap 3 times a day. Massage with Palmolive's wonderful beauty lather for 60 seconds each time to get its full beautifying effect. Then rinse.
Look for improvements in your complexion within 14 days. For remember, 36 doctors, leading skin specialists, advise this way for 1,285 women with all types of skin. Young, old, dry, oily, normal, and proved it could bring lovelier complexions to 2 out of 3. So forget all other beauty care. Use Palmolive soap the way these doctors advised for a fresher, brighter complexion.
For loveliness all over, use big, thrifty bath size Palmolive in your tub or shower.
Well, Sherry's department store lived up to its reputation by refunding the dress and cheerfully keeping my money. In a way, it's a good thing I had the extra dress with me, because when we got to school, I stepped out of Walter's car and right through the hem of the dress I had on. Well, knowing I had to face Mr. Conklin, I felt pretty panicky. It's bad enough to have your spirits dragging without having your hem down there, too. But I finally hit on a pretty good scheme. Between classes, I dropped into the domestic science room to have my old dress patched up and to try and sell the new one. Excuse me, Miss Atterbury, but I wonder if you could help me out.
Oh, it's Miss Brooks. Well, come in, dear. What can I do for you?
Well, I tore the hem of this dress I've got on, and I'd like to get it fixed up.
I'll do whatever I can. Some of these sewing machines are in pretty bad shape. There's one old singer here that hasn't worked for weeks.
That's too bad. Maybe you could teach him to dance. Or sew the seam by hand.
Let's see that hem now. Pretty bad rip. Take quite a while to fix it.
Well, then maybe I'd better slip on this other dress till you're done. I'll just step behind this screen here and take this one off. Oh, there. You got it?
Yes, I'll start stitching it up right away.
Good. I'll certainly appreciate it, Miss Atterbury. Well, I've got this one on. How do you like it?
Why, it's lovely, Miss Brooks. I wish I had one like it.
You have, Miss Atterbury. I've decided this dress is not my type, so you're welcome to it. For $25.
Only $25? That's a steal, Miss Brooks.
Let's use another word, shall we? Now, if you'll excuse me, Miss Atterbury, I've got to get over to Mr. Conklin's office.
All right, Miss Brooks, and I'll have your other dress all fixed when you come back. Then we'll try the new one on me. Of course, I weigh 186, but I hope I can get into it.
Just have the $25 ready. You'll get into it. Oh, one thing, Miss Atterbury.
Yes?
While I'm gone, try and lose a few pounds.
Now, see here, Harriet, just because you're my daughter doesn't give you the privilege of taking time off from your study period. As principal of this school,
but
I
Daddy,
must...
But, Daddy, it'll only take a minute. I just want your permission to withdraw $3 from my school savings account. I've just got to have a new sweater.
Harriet, it distresses me to hear you talk this way. Why, do you realize that it's invariably a craving for unnecessary finery that is the basis for most of the crimes committed by women?
But, Daddy...
Just this morning, there was a story in the paper about a woman being held as an embezzler. And do you know what her alibi was? She needed clothes. I tell you, it's a disgrace what this civilization is coming to. Show me a well-dressed girl who has only a moderate income, and I'll show you an embezzler.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brooks. I see we have on a new dress.
Oh, is yours new, too? I mean, this is sort of new. It's, well, yes. Hello, Harriet.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Run along, Harriet. I have some important matters to discuss with Miss Brooks.
All right, Daddy. We'll take my matter up later on, huh?
Dismissed, girl.
Yes, sir.
Now then, Miss Brooks, have you brought all the student banking records with you?
Well, not exactly all of them, Mr. Conklin.
Then how many?
None of them. You see, I wanted to double-check some of the items before you and I did the final recap, and,
are you trying to tell me, Miss Brooks?
Oh, I'm not trying to tell you anything, Mr. Conklin. The less, the better. You see, there's one more deposit I've got to make today before the records tally.
Very well, Miss Brooks. I'll wait until lunch period.
Well, have a long lunch period, Mr. Conklin. It may take me quite a while.
To do what, Miss Brooks?
To start a pyramid club. See you later, Miss Brooks. Oh, you did a wonderful job on my old dress, Miss Atterbury. Now, suppose you try on this new one.
All right, Miss Brooks. But I'm so much heavier than you, I hope I can get it on.
Oh, you'll get it on easily. If I have to smear you with butter. Now, off with the old. And on with the new. Lift your arms. That's a good girl. Now, down over your shoulders. Fine. Past your waist. Good. Now, past your... There. Oh, it fits you like a glove, Miss Atterbury.
Feels like I'm standing in the pinky.
Well, close the zipper along the side.
The zipper? All right. Oh, it won't move.
Oh, nonsense. Take a deep breath. Now, hold it. Oh, there we are.
When can I breathe out?
Oh, don't be a child. You look lovely in it, Miss Atterbury.
Thanks, Miss Brooks. But I can't hold my breath any longer. What happened?
Nothing much. The zipper just returned to at ease. You know, that's what I like about this dress, Miss Atterbury. It brings out the real you. God, I love you. I guess we will have to alter it a little, but if you'll just give me that $25 now, I'd like to
just
go and make...
Just a minute, Miss Brooks. I don't know if I want to buy this dress right now. Here, let me take another deep breath.
The latest thing, plunging necklines. You know, the fashion experts say that necklines are going further south every year.
I know.
Of course, this one's on its way to Mexico City. I'm sure the dress can be made to fit
you. And I'm sure it can't, Miss Brooks. We just weren't made for each other. Help me get it off, will you?
All right, Miss Atterbury, but you're overlooking a great buy. After all, breathing isn't everything.
There you are.
I've got an idea. Why don't you dye the dress?
Dye it? What color?
Flesh color. Then you wouldn't have to worry about the zipper. No, I guess not. Oh, there's the lunch period. I've got to hurry over to Mr. Boynton's laboratory.
Oh, did Mr. Boynton invite you to lunch, Miss Brooks?
That's why I've got to hurry. He's just going to. Oh, hello, Mr. Boynton. I'm glad I caught you before you went to lunch.
Hello, Miss Brooks. I'm not going to the cafeteria today. I brought a couple of sandwiches to eat right here. Would you like one of them?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Boynton. I don't like to take
your... Oh, go ahead, Miss Brooks. They're very good.
Well, thanks.
And they're only 30 cents apiece.
Here's 15. I'll just eat the bottom half. You know, I really should be in Mr. Conklin's office right now with the school banking records, but frankly, I'm a little shy.
Well, that's one of the reasons I like you, Miss Brooks.
I don't mean bashful shy. I mean come to the station house shy.
I don't understand, Miss Brooks. Is there something wrong?
Nothing serious, Mr. Boynton. Do you think you could ever love an embezzler?
I never have. What's this all about, Miss Brooks?
Oh, well, let's forget it. Let's live for today. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Here's another 15 cents. Give me the top of that sandwich.
Are you sure everything's all right, Miss Brooks?
Oh, let's not talk about it, Mr. Boynton. Tell me, why are you eating in the lab? Cutting down on expenses?
Well, sort of. I've been a little short all month.
You too?
Well, I'll be solvent again this afternoon. Mr. Conklin's buying a sport jacket of mine. It's one that was sent to me for Christmas, and he just insists on my selling it to him. He says he wants to wear it to the faculty masquerade ball next month.
Masquerade ball? What kind of a jacket is it?
Well, it's green suede. Mr. Conklin's going as Robin Hood.
Oh, he's a natural. What's he giving you for it?
About $25.
Gee, I'm glad I dropped in today. It's good to see you, Mr. Boynton.
Thanks, Miss Brooks.
What are you going to wear to the masquerade, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet.
You only think you haven't made up your mind yet. Mr. Boynton, I happen to have in this box the ideal costume for you.
Oh, but Miss Brooks, I...
Let me unwrap it for you.
Hmm?
Now, tell the truth, Mr. Boynton. Who always wins the grand prize at fancy dress affairs? Men who dress as women.
Men who dress as women?
You're so right, Mr. Boynton. Now, take your jacket off.
Yeah, but I don't want...
Now, that's a good boy. Yeah. Just slip this dress on for size.
Oh, but Miss Brooks, I'll never be able to get into it.
If Miss Atterbury could get into it, you can get into it. Now, come on, right over your head. Just straighten it out. There.
Oh, I feel ridiculous, Miss Brooks.
Why, it looks lovely on you, Mr. Boynton. And I'm going to let you have it very reasonably.
But it's so tight.
Well, naturally it's tight now, but that's easily corrected. It'll fit you perfectly when you've got the proper foundation garment on.
Foundation garment?
Oh, excuse me, Walter and I were just... Oh, hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Harriet, Walter.
We were... Who's your friend? What a bill!
Walter, please. It's Mr. Boynton.
Mr. Boynton?
I'm just trying on a masquerade costume.
Oh, I see. Well, the reason we were looking for you, Miss Brooks, was to tell you that Daddy wants to go over those school savings records right away.
I know he does, Harriet, but I haven't been able to make a certain deposit yet. However, as soon as I sell this dress to Mr. Boynton...
Oh, I'm afraid I can't buy this, Miss Brooks. It's just not my type of costume.
Oh, but Mr. Boynton...
Well, wait a minute, Miss Brooks. If Mr. Boynton doesn't want the dress, maybe my mother will buy it. I know she's been saving up for one.
Really, Harriet? Do you think she'd like it?
Why, I think so. Would you mind modeling it for me, Mr. Boynton?
Modeling it?
You know, walk up and down with your hand on your hip.
I had to do that once when I first joined a fraternity.
Oh, but this is absurd.
Please, Mr. Boynton, just a few steps.
Well,
a pretty girl is like a melody that haunts me.
There you are, Miss Brooks.
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin.
Hi, Daddy. Mr. Conklin.
Hello, Mr. Conklin.
Hello, Miss Boynton. Now then, Miss Brooks, I have been expecting... Mr. Boynton!
I was just trying it on for size, Mr. Conklin, but...
I know this is a biology laboratory, but what kind of an experiment is this?
Oh, it's just the masquerade, Mr. Conklin.
I don't want to hear any more about it. I presume you still haven't prepared the school savings record yet?
No, I haven't, Mr.
Well,
Conklin.
I'll be tied up for the rest of the day, but bring them to my home immediately after school. And they'd better balance.
Let's see now, where were we? Oh, yes. She will leave you and then come back again.
Now, if you'll just take this chair by the desk, Miss Brooks, we'll check these columns of figures.
Oh, before you do, Mr. Conklin, there's something I'd like to explain. You see, when you add them all
up,
they don't...
I'm mentally equipped to add a column of figures, Miss Brooks. 6 and 8 of 14, 9, 23, 7.
Excuse me, Osgood.
Please, Martha. Can't you see I'm trying to do some work here?
Well, I just want to talk to Miss Brooks for a minute.
Well, go ahead, but be quiet about it.
Yes, dear. Come over here, Miss Brooks.
I see you're wearing the dress, Mrs. Conklin. How do you like it?
Oh, I like it fine. How much did you say it was worth?
$25.
Oh, good. You'll never guess where I keep my money, Miss Brooks.
Not in the school savings bank, I hope.
No. It's in the sugar bowl. I'll go and get it for you, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks, come here this instant.
Yes, sir. Hurry, Mrs. Conklin.
Ah, now sit down, Miss Brooks. I've added these figures very carefully. 3 times. And I still get the same total.
I know. There's $25 missing.
You knew?
That's what I was trying to explain, Mr. Conklin. You see, that was the money I didn't deposit.
But why not?
Well, it was used for something else.
Something else? But that was a sacred trust, Miss Brooks. How could you do such a thing? Why, that's an awful...
Pardon me, Osgood. But I've got to talk to you. There's $25 missing from the sugar bowl.
From the sugar bowl?
Only you and I knew that money was there, Osgood.
Well, you see, dear, my check isn't due for 2 weeks, and I...
I want that money, Osgood. I want it now.
But
she wants the dough, Osgood, and she wants it now. See?
What? Oh,
well, I mean, not just anyone can play in the Sugar Bowl. You've got to be invited by the Southern Conference. Of course, this year the Rose Bowl.
I'll get it. Oh, come in, Mr.
Boynton. Oh, hello, Mrs. Conklin. Good afternoon, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Well, here's that jacket, Mr. Conklin. I must say it's a good buy for only $25.
Jacket?
I meant to call you about that, Boynton. I've decided against buying anything for myself. I want to surprise Mrs. Conklin with a little gift. A new dress.
Surprise!
How much is this dress, my dear?
$25.
I just happen to have that amount on me. Here you are, my dear.
Thanks. Here you are, my dear.
Thanks. Here you are, my dear.
Thanks. The books are now balanced.
Oh, just a minute, Mr. Conklin. Let me have 50 cents of that money. Here you are, Mrs. Conklin.
But, Miss Brooks, what's the 50 cents for?
Get yourself a mousetrap for the sugar bowl.
Our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster cream... Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4 ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a...
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after the records were straightened out Friday afternoon, Mr. Conklin gave me the money and told me to be sure and deposit it the following morning. This time I didn't leave it on my dresser. I put the $25 in an old pair of galoshes in the hall closet. I slept until almost 10 o'clock Saturday morning and was just getting out of bed when Mrs. Davis came in.
Oh, I'm so glad you're up, Connie. I thought that was the cutest thing.
You thought what was the cutest thing, Mrs. Davis?
How you tried to give me some advance rent by slipping it into the galoshes you borrowed last night.
Oh, no. You didn't take that money and buy me another dress.
Of course not, Connie. I bought you a lovely leather briefcase to keep the student's savings in.
Well, there's only one way out. Get me a needle and thread.
A needle and thread? What are you going to do?
What can I do? I'll sew some sleeves on it and sell it to Mrs. Conklin.
Tune into another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive shaving cream comes both ways, and whichever way you prefer to shave, you'll find that using either Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream can bring you more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Here's the proof. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave described on the tube. And no matter how they had shaved before, 3 out of every 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Get Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream today.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.